Welcome to Leadership Reimagined. I'm Dr. Jane Lovis, your host. During each episode of Leadership Reimagined, we take a look at leadership from the vantage point of what it's going to take for leaders to lead their organizations forward into a new future. And in this episode, we're creating that new future. Today, I'd like to welcome Chris Ward. Chris has an amazing story on the personal impact of her work on her life and business. Her husband, John, was diagnosed with colon cancer. His diagnosis and his treatment were extremely aggressive. In an instant, her world was turned completely upside down and all her priorities changed. She spent basically all her time supporting him. Her win the hour, win the day practices allowed her to keep her business fully intact. It allowed her to provide normalcy for her family and to be there for John right up until his final day. It allowed her to be present and as clear-headed as a person could be under such circumstance. It has also allowed her to live without regret because she knew that John was happy and well cared for until his final moment. She was able to be present to everything and manage all the important details and endless tasks. She was able to win the hour, win the day, when the wins were more important than words possibly described. After this experience, she realized these practices could help other business owners and their employees. So putting pen to paper, she wrote her first book. And here today to share some of her win the hour, win the day practices with us is Chris Ward. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
Wow. I am so excited because anything that can make life easier. I look at my to-do list and I just go, ugh. And I think that's a very normal response for most of us, isn't it?
Well, it is. Can I jump right in though there? Can I give you a little bit of pushback on that one?
Well, that's the discussion I want to have. Yeah, because shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. So the first thing I would encourage you to think about is a to-do list is an excellent way to add stress to your day and to get incomplete tasks. So I always encourage people to burn their to-do list because it's not in chronological order. It's not in any sort of sequence. You have no idea how long it would take. Is it going to take 20 minutes or 2 hours? So that no business, no effective business is run on a to-do list.
Totally agree. Cause yeah, it's all the random things that come out of your mind.
Yeah. So, you know, me, I'm all about systems and processes because, you know, we didn't start a business just to run a business, right? We want to get our ideas to execution. And in order to do that in an effective way, you know, you have to be always moving on to the next thing, which is why we call it our win team or what is next team? What is next team?
Oh, that's a great way to look at it. And what's the win the hour, win the day? Does that mean I only have to work for 1 hour a day?
Well, you can do a lot of things. Really, where it came from originally was the fact that as entrepreneurs, we tend to clump things. Like we have this project, but we don't break it down in pieces. And I know for me, like you just spoke of, there was a period in time where I would hit the floor running Monday morning with my mighty to-do list in hand, thinking that I could just conquer the world if I, you know, went really super fast. And it really just, there was nothing I could get traction on. I was just spinning my wheels. So learning how to break things down into increments, you know, if I could win the hour, I could win the day and I could see when I was off course and I could see where I was going. And so that's primarily where it came from.
Yeah. I really didn't think it was work 1 hour a day, but there's always that thought that because most of us have more than we can accomplish when we're just running in circles in a day anyway. And if we could start organizing and getting those getting those big thoughts out, what would that do?
Yeah. So my clients often tell me that within the first month of working with us, they get 25 hours back a week. So you certainly can decrease the hours. Absolutely. And again, what you want to be able to do is get your ideas to execution, ideas to execution. That really is the number one game as a small business owner or entrepreneur. And I would encourage you to think about when you've ever had, you know, any sort of professional jealousy, you're looking at somebody, they're getting all this stuff done. All that's doing is they're just getting their ideas to execution faster than you. And, you know, you may look at your competitors, maybe you feel like you're more capable or you have more experience, but if they can get their ideas to execution into the marketplace quicker than you, they win the game.
Yes, that is so true. And a lot of us spend time trying to figure things out.
I have, my team is very funny. They now start quoting me, but they'll say things, you know, business is not run on memory. And if you work with us one day, you will constantly hear me. Businesses are not run on memory, right? So that reactionary mode is what Daniel Priestley, he wrote this amazing book, and he calls it the wilderness stage. Like, you've started a business and you think you're doing great, but you're still in the wilderness stage.
Yeah. Well, and I'll share a little secret with you. I spent years as a project manager. So I am really, I know what you're talking about, because projects so often fall apart because they haven't been well. The end game has not been well defined, and the plan to get there has not been well defined. And I also get that for myself, it's much easier for me to support someone else than myself.
Yeah, the three things that really hurt a business, I would say, is min work, busy work, and new work. It's hard to admit bringing on new clients is really something that can choke us up, but it does. And you hear that all the time, you know, feast or famine, like, I need new business. I get the new business. I'm busy with the new business. Because what you do for one, you should be able to do for 50. And people usually can't onboard 50 new clients. And so they get caught back and forth in that vicious cycle. And it really is a stressful way to live.
It sure is. Even we're talking about small businesses, but this really doesn't matter what size your business is. Because if you've got ideas that whether you're executing them or someone else is executing them, you've got ideas that need to be executed.
Yes, 100%. And I think that's where so many small business owners, entrepreneurs struggle is they, you know, I often hear people talking about delegating. And to me, that's a lateral move and you're still the choking point, right? So you're handing, stuff comes through you and then you hand it off to the side. And that is the setup of a lot of corporations, which are really very archaic in their plan. And what that plan usually looks for when you're bringing on a team is that I'll hire somebody and then I lean over and I check on their work, like a parent to a child, a student, a teacher to a student. And that creates another, you know, workflow for you. You're like, Chris, I got too much going on as it is. So what I'm all about is that your win team, your what is next team, should be managing you. And they can do that if you set them up effectively and empower them with systems and processes like, you know, the super toolkits that we're frequently talking about. But so many people will hire a VA, throw a bunch of work at them and think they have a team.
And part of it is they don't share the big picture. They don't share the vision. So they don't know where they're going. Why am I doing this? So it's a discrete task. I don't know how it fits. So I, you know, it could be as simple as writing a blog post. I don't know how it fits in the big picture. So I just write this blog post.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, Jane. But I would also add to that is for often with small business owners, what happens is like, oh, the team goes away on the weekend, even if you've got one or two people working with you. And then you read a book over the weekend, and suddenly you're making a severe left, right? So they may have been included in the vision, but the vision is constantly changing depending on what happened to you in the last 24 hours.
great point. Yeah.
Right. So I would argue again that what's really happening is whether you have one person or two, if you don't have systems and processes in place so that you can consistently, effectively get traction, you know, that keeps you on the straight and narrow. And so you're not just running around with busy work. And that's when your team really gets empowered and feels safe because they've got that default. We're always looking at the system. We're not blaming people. We're not throwing work in a reactionary mode at different people. You know, you're not coming from a fear-based modality. You're following the systems and processes that allow you to constantly compress the work you have to do. I believe that you should be in 60% execution mode and not caught in the web of admin. So most entrepreneurs are like almost always just constant with the busy work and the web, you know, web of admin, administration web there. And really what I would argue is that you should be in 60% execution mode.
Interesting. So it's actually a lot more being in action, real action for where you're going, not all the stuff on the outside.
Execution moving forward. Action, we all get confused with, hey, busy work. I'm working super hard. I mean, that was something I had painful time learning that being a hard worker is not a compliment and it's not a good thing. I remember one day having a conversation with my mother saying, who knew I would have to learn that hard work isn't something I should be proud of? I mean, that's just crazy, right? So what happens is we're just running around doing a lot of hard work. And I thought this for years. I thought, I'm working so hard. The days are so long. I'm going so fast that clearly this has to pay off. And it doesn't. I will tell you, this is my belief. That which does not kill you makes you really tired.
You know, we're not here just to talk about systems. And no. Systems are so critical because they allow you to rinse and repeat.
100%.
And not make up, oh, today, how am I going to do this today?
100%.
So when you're looking at systems, what are some of the most important systems you're looking at?
Well, really, when I talk about systems, it's really just so that what you want to do, a lot of people think systems are going to choke your creativity and that's why they left a job. But systems really give you a lot of freedom when they're put in play effectively. So our super toolkits, what they do is constantly compress work that we have. And so then it allows me to move on and say, what's my next idea, my next ambition that I want to get in traction? We want to constantly be moving forward because as an entrepreneur, that's a thing. Maybe you want to write a book, you want to write a second book, you want a podcast. There's always some big thing that you want to do. So you have to be able to compress your work and move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So that's fundamentally, again, I want to say, you didn't start your business just to run a business. That's not why you started it.
No, there's an impact that you want to make in your life and in others' life.
A freedom of lifestyle, freedom of creativity, you know, a freedom just to go where the business takes you, and that you weren't getting fulfilled in your corporate job or whatever situation you're in before. But suddenly, all of a sudden, the business has got a chokehold on you. And that's not what you signed up for. Otherwise, you've really created a very expensive job. You could have stayed at the job that you were at, which would have been, you know, less investment. And I would also argue that this is where you become what I call a sufferpreneur.
A sufferpreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of those out there.
Yeah, I know. And I know for me, the first couple of years I was in business, I ran around full speed, full tilt, thinking that I could really just outrun the clock and things would get done. And, you know, I now call myself a recovering rushaholic, but that rushing and trying to race time is you're just skimming over things. It's not effective. It's very shallow. There's no depth to it. You're not creating. You're just constantly reacting. And so that's not a strategy, but it's not an effective strategy, but I would say it's the most practiced strategy.
Right, right. And the other strategy that entrepreneurs use is one that I fall into and have had to really put some boundaries and systems in place is a new idea. Let's see what about this one now? Yeah. And without having some systems in place to say, this is what we're doing and this is where we're going. I would create a new strategy probably once a week.
Well, I think what you're speaking to, Jane, is when you don't have an infrastructure in play, then it allows you just constantly be running in different directions. Like it's kind of like if you're in a field versus if you're driving on the road's like, okay, well, I have to wait for the next turn, but the field, I can just go anywhere on my bicycle type situation. So that does happen a lot for people. So again, it's not to restrict you, but it does keep you on course.
Right, right. Because actually one of the pieces of freedom is I can just tag that and put it over here and keep moving, because entrepreneurs have created something because they're committed to it. They've got a commitment to it. And so often when they're running around and bouncing from idea to nothing gets done. You don't even know if that's going to work. Then you can bring something else on and say, oh, now I've got this going. Now let me bring the book on. Now let me bring a podcast on. Today I'm going to start a podcast. Tomorrow I'm going to write a book. It keeps that spinning.
Yeah. Well, see what happens with, you know, our super toolkit and the things that we put in play is then you look at this and you, again, if you want free time, you can compress it because we're always looking how to make, we're always what we call queuing it, C-U-E, creating, using, and editing it. So something that may take 12 steps goes down to 8, but also then there is this, we're following the steps. I'm on step 4. We got to finish this, but it really does allow for a lot of time with freedom. And then you're just going, okay, great. Now I have the bandwidth. And it also allows you to rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. So for me, I really found it very powerful when I launched my book, Win the Hour, Win the Day. And then later when we went to launch the podcast, it was unbelievable how very similar those two launches were. But they were a couple years apart. So we wouldn't have seen how similar they were. We wouldn't have remembered all the steps. So it really allows you to take on new ambitions, but without always relearning.
And recreate, totally recreating from scratch.
Yeah.
So what's one of your best, or should I say craziest stories with working with a client, you know, no names, no industry or anything, where you just went in and you went, oh my God, really were able to evoke a turnaround with them?
Well, I mean, I got client stories and I've got my own stories. Like seriously, I almost electrocuted myself. It's in the book because I was just rushing. That was a thing. I had a couple of very serious kitchen fires. So like, oh my gosh, because look, I could just answer one more email. There's all kinds of stories like that. Recently, you know, I have a client and he's a phenomenal speaker. He's super amazing. He's in a wheelchair. And due to his illness, whatever you call it, he doesn't mind the word disability, but I do. Due to that, he doesn't have use of his arm. And so he didn't have any systems. He didn't have a team. He had nothing, but he's this international speaker. And he was telling me he would use like a chopstick and he would bend over and type things on the keyboard. Now, it was a chopstick, but I thought like a mouse is a mouse, right? It's not really a mouse. So I thought this chopstick was this technical tool that he paid a lot of money for. No, they're all over his place. He's a chopstick from Chinese food. And this is what he was using. So we were working with him and like all my clients, they say that they get 25 hours back a week within the first month of working with us. And he had the same experience. And he was very emotional. He said, oh my gosh, Chris, I feel like I got my life back. Like he started to tear up. He said, in just a couple of weeks, I can't believe the change in my lifestyle. And it's like, this is insanity. Like you're doing all this work running this business with a friggin' chopstick. So yeah, it's just, wow. That's what makes me love what I do.
What else is there?
Well, you know what? I guess I would say the common mistakes that people make is just dumping big projects on their lap and saying, this is what we're going to do. One of the things that I would encourage you to do is work backward. And so for example, when I was writing my book, you know, I figured out that in order to get it to the editors by June, I had to do 5 pages per day, Monday to Friday. Now, the old me, you know, some days I would have been like, I don't think I have this in me, but oh, you know what? Tomorrow I'll feel rested. I'll do so much better. Blah, blah, blah. It's fine. But because I did 5 pages per day and I did the math, I worked backwards. And we do this in our personal life all the time. You might say like, I got to be at my mom's for her birthday and that's 1 o'clock and, but it's an hour away. And so all of a sudden you realize you have to get ready at 10 to be somewhere at 1, right?
Right.
But we, as entrepreneurs, we enthusiastically dive into the next project, but we don't work backwards. So I worked backwards and said, all right, I need to do 5 pages per day to get this to her by June. Now, some days I didn't think I had it in me to do 5 pages, but then I sobered up and realized, I'm not going to have 10 pages in me tomorrow. So I best get this done, right? So that really, it's just, again, winning the hour, winning the day, really breaks it down. And it's fundamentals like that, that can make such a difference in your project achievement that so many small business owners and entrepreneurs just, you know, struggle with.
A challenge that so many of us have is if you said to somebody, I'm going to write 5 pages a day and give it to you every single day. And they were dependent on those 5 days, those 5 pages every day, you would do it. But we don't often, we struggle with honoring our word to ourselves. I said I was going to do this. Well, today I don't feel like it. So it's not that.
Well, yeah, because again, if you don't work backwards and you think, oh, I can make up for this tomorrow. I'll go faster. That was my answer to everything. I'll just go faster. I'll work later. It's a moving target, right?
Yeah.
So that's crazy. But really what the infrastructure does, it liberates you of time. It really just opens up what you can easily accomplish moving forward. And it speeds it up and improves the quality. Right? Because what I would say too is so many entrepreneurs think they're saving money by doing things themselves, but I call that the 3 D's. Number one is you are damaging overhead. And so when you try to do something late at night, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, you know, you're not doing work that could bring in income. So let's say you could sell a package for $100. You should be working on that. But when you're doing that work late at night, you're essentially charging your business $100. So it's damaging overhead. Delayed income. What does that cost you when you get a client in June that you could have had in January? Plus, if they gave you one referral, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think the most painful of them all is diminished opportunity. When somebody says, wow, Jane, I wish I'd known you did that. I just hired somebody locked into a contract, but you were busy doing all that admin work, trying to save yourself money. And now look what you lost. Never mind if, you know, the lifetime value of that client. Makes sense?
Makes so much sense. Part of the fear is, I know that, you know, some of the entrepreneurs in my circle and say is, yeah, but I'm going to have to train them. I'm going to have to delegate. That's just more work.
I hear that all the time. And I will tell you, most recently, somebody in our team got the opportunity to go back to college, and she was given 2 weeks notice with all the lockdowns and stuff that happened really quick. And so, you know, we have a hiring and onboarding process, and we do it for our clients in the winner's circle, but we hired somebody and we had the new person up to 80% capacity in a week because we had these super toolkits in play. So what I would tell you is, again, when you are thinking that this is going to require extra work for you to set them up, you are coming from that very corporate archaic mindset where it's a very parentified system, right? And so, yeah, the parentified system is very time consuming, but I'm all about having a win team. When you have a win team, a what is next team, you set it up and they manage you and you're constantly moving forward. And you're achieving goals, you're getting ideas to execution. And it's really like having a boat where you got sails on it. So it's like, whoo, wind in the sails, off we go.
Oh, yeah. How neat is that?
I think too, Jane, you bring up a really good point, because often we talk about culture and leadership and we so confuse that with bigger companies need, you know, oh, we got a larger group, so we have to talk about culture and leadership. And people often totally forget smaller teams for that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say to you when you're talking about company culture or leadership, if you or I were on a big ocean liner and something happened and there's 500, 600, 700 people on that boat and something happens, you're going, okay, a number of people are going to be useful here. We're going to get ourselves out of this situation. But if you and two other people in a rowboat, you want to hope that there, you've got some really skilled people in that boat, because like your hands, you know, we've really got a lot riding on this, right? So that's where I tell people is setting it up effectively right from the get-go. You don't fall into an effective team when you get to 50, 100 people, and especially when that's never your dream. But to have that small team that's really invested in managing you, that's where you get the culture and the leadership in.
That's so true, because culture either happens by default or you take the time to create it and cause it. Yeah. And if you don't, it's going to happen anyway. No company can say, well, we have no culture here. You have a dysfunctional culture maybe, but there's always a culture.
Yeah, 100%. You're right. So you do plan it or not, right? And that, I mean, and I'm all about, with a win team or what is next team, I'm all about them having a leadership role. And even like when we brought on somebody new, you know, and we're talking and she's saying, oh, I really love how you let me. And I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, hold on. We're going to pick up our words here. I don't let you do anything. We're a team. This is what we do. A let is like a child and a parent. So let's just craft that language a little bit more effectively, because my goal is always that person is going to be leading somebody else. We don't wait when we got two people say, oh, now we're bringing on a third. Okay, now we're going to teach them leadership roles. Similar, like you don't start parenting a kid when they're 10. You start right from infancy stage, right?
Right. And right. Because leadership is not just about leading someone else. It's about leading yourself also.
100%. This is one of the things I talk to all the time about small business owners, entrepreneurs. And in my book, When They Are, Win the Day, I call it a friendly interruption. And so you don't want them coming to you and, oh, I need the password for this, and I need all these things. And that's why we have systems and processes like our super toolkit, so everybody can work independently, effectively, and consistently, right? But at the same time, you don't want to be going over and interrupting them. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. You can't be their friendly interruption either. That still slows things down. And here's a really good point with, you know, how my team thinks and really about why systems and processes are so expensive. I would encourage you to think about, let's say you have to go to the store and you're running to the store and you've got a list, you got two, you know, three things on the list. You run into the store, grab some things, a lineup, you know, you do that thing, get in the car, drive back, get home. And then you're, oh my gosh, it takes you 15 minutes to figure out that you missed something off the list. Like, where is that? Must be in the bag, must be here. So that's time consuming. Then you figure you missed it. So now you go back to the store, same gas, same time, got to line up, back in the car, rush home. So essentially you doubled your expenses of time and money when you make a mistake. And when you don't have systems and processes in play, that's the thing. You have no idea how much things are costing you, and you have no idea how many costly mistakes you're making, just eating up your time and money.
Like I said, you're preaching to the choir. And I think it's so important, because otherwise you're reinventing the wheel all the time. Because even if you have something that you've done a number of times, if it has more than like three steps, you're going to forget a step. You're going to miss something. You're going to have to go back and redo it. You're going to make something up and do it differently. And the same with us going to the grocery store, it takes more time. And time is something we never have enough of. The more effective and efficient we can be with our time, the more things we can accomplish.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I really argue that without a team, it's like watching sports and sitting on the couch calling yourself an athlete, right? So without a team, I would argue that you really don't have a business. You're a sufferpreneur. So that doesn't, you know, work well. And you have to remember, here's the thing is, you started a business because you had ideas and you want to get them into action. You know, you don't want the repetitive admin work. And so in order to be able to get your ideas to execution, you do have to have leadership skills. You have to teach your team that. You have to have a culture in your team. You have to have win team and what is next team. And you have to have systems and processes in play that constantly compress so you can move on to your next ambition. Because we all know entrepreneurs are never short of ideas.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the challenge of being an entrepreneur, is more ideas than time. What you're talking about is a way to give them more time than ideas.
Yeah. And another thing that I think is really important is, I see this all the time where entrepreneurs or small business owners start chasing the wrong thing. Like, you know what? If I had this tool and I just have to invest in this, take a couple months to learn it, or if I was more disciplined, if I was more organized. And you're just chasing all these things, when in fact, what you just don't have is, you don't have an infrastructure to get your ideas to execution. And you don't have a win team that can just move you forward constantly, consistently, and effectively. That's the difference. It's not about you being a procrastinator or all these other things. It's about the infrastructure you don't have in play.
Because don't you see that a lot of the procrastination comes because there are no systems?
Well, I would argue that it's not about procrastination. It's about overwhelm. Procrastination is when you have too much to do and you can't manage it and you're just in overwhelm.
Right.
And if you had things effectively set up, you wouldn't be dealing with either of those.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of like, if you could imagine, let's say you had a houseplant. You got a houseplant in your left hand. You went to a store, you bought a houseplant and you brought it home and it's doing really well and it's thriving. You think, you know what? I feel really good about this. I think I'd like to get another plant. And then you go, well, this is really great. I'm really having fun with this. You know what? Maybe this could be a business for me. But I think what I need to do is, I'm going to need more houseplants. So I'm going to take this, instead of just having a couple houseplants, and I'm going to have a farm where I'm going to grow all these plants. So I encourage you to think about, what's the difference between a couple houseplants and the farm? Mm-hmm. It's the infrastructure. Now, isn't that interesting? It's the infrastructure. So many small business owners, what they do is they chase these, one houseplant dies off, you go out and get another one, it takes your time, build a story, all this stuff. And you're just chasing those houseplants versus the infrastructure allows you to effectively and consistently yield and then add traction to your business.
That's a great, great analogy, because I think just about everybody can kind of wrap their arms around that, you know, because it's like, what infrastructure does my business need to, because that becomes the foundation of the business then.
Yeah. And I know infrastructure sounds like an incredibly heavy word, but it can be something as simple as, okay, you've hired somebody. And now when you go to do some tasks that you're doing all the time, anyhow, just, you know, do a Loom, which is LOOM. There's all kinds of screen captures out there that are free. And you could just talk about what you're doing while you're doing it and have them write out the steps so that they can consistently execute that for you. So this is a big deal. This is very important. So many entrepreneurs hear the word infrastructure. It sounds heavy. It sounds restrictive. And then they think, okay, I need to work all weekend or take the week off and type all these steps out. That's not going to work, because when you start using it, because remember we talk about Q, create, use, and edit. When you start using it, you realize you miss steps, you miss passwords. So you want to constantly be evolving this. This is not a one and done. That's what SOP is, standard operating procedures. And SOPs, why SOPs have been so restrictive and why you have bad memories of them as a job when you're an employee is because they were not written by the end user. They were static in nature, and they're usually written to cover liability.
Having been on projects writing SOPs for organizations, I can share that. And you'd get the end users and you take it to the end users and they go, that's not what we do.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a very dated document. Mm-hmm. I personally believe if you have to buy a broom, you speak to the person sweeping the floor.
Thank you. Chris, this has been fabulous. So if you can believe, our time is up. So what last thing, what would you like to share with our listeners?
Just that business should be fun and your business should support your life instead of consuming it.
Yeah. So how can people get a copy of your book?
Yeah. So you can check that on Amazon. You can tell me on any of the socials, reach out and say, oh my gosh, you know, that you heard me on this fantastic show. We'll become fast friends. And you know what, for your listeners, we have free gift, GIFT from Chris, KRIS.com, free gift from Chris.com. We have something special we just put in there that we still charge for, the audio version of my book. Ooh. So you might want to check that out because you won't be there very long. But yeah, reach out to me and tell me you heard me here and we'll become fast friends.
Everybody hear that? Reach out to Chris. Thank you, Chris. This has been great.
Thank you, Jane. I had a blast. I appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us this week on Leadership Reimagined. I encourage you to take something that you heard today and apply it in your business. The key to progress is action and sharing. I'd love to hear what you accomplish. Email me at jlovis@lovisconsulting.com and let me know. Speaking of applying it in your business, if you're struggling or looking to expand your leadership skills, let's talk. You can go to lovisconsulting.com. That's L-O-V as in Victor, A-S, consulting.com, and schedule a quick call with me. We need powerful, strong, compassionate leaders to solve the challenges we are facing today. Please subscribe on your favorite platform and share with your friends and family. Thank you for supporting us as we cause and expand 1 million women leaders in tech by 2030. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you next week.